We'll read the first 8 verses of the 15th chapter of John. Verses 1 through 8, we'll read them responsively. And as we always do, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. The text verse is the second verse, and so if you'll take note of that as we read it together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And let's pray. Father, you've been good to us. You've been good to us to give us this place where we can gather. You've been good to give us the freedom whereby we may be permitted to gather. You've given us a preacher. You've given us a Bible. You've given us so much of thyself and thy gifts, how rich we are. And yet we can go away from this place poorer than we ought to be if we do not listen, if we do not hear, and if we do not act upon that which we hear. And so help us. And we pray, O Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst work in a very special way among us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You just won't beat that anywhere. And I want to talk to you this morning on one of the main ways the Lord does draw us nearer. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the best way to avoid trials and heartaches. The best way to avoid trials. Without your looking, look at it, I'll read just a verse or two from the Scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Our Heavenly Father, set aside, sanctify thy servant for the next few minutes, and sanctify thy people as we preach from a sanctified book. Set us apart now for these moments, for the preaching of thy word. Focus our minds on this great truth. Amen. I think, though I have no desire to enter into any kind of a campaign in opposition to the television ministries of anybody who has a nationwide television ministry, I'm sure that many of them do much good. Let me paraphrase that. I'm sure that some of them do much good. But I think there's a great misservice being done to Christian people, and most of the Christian people to whom this misservice is being done are sincere but naive people. I think that this misservice is implication and sometimes outright declaration. If you'll send some money to my broadcast, you'll get rich. Or if you'll do thus and so, that you'll, everything will be hunky-dory in your life. Or the testimonies where people will stand up and say, everything went wrong in my life until I came to Christ. And since I came to Christ, all of my burdens are gone. And I simply do not think that's true. And I want you to follow me very, very carefully as I speak on the best way to avoid trials. All of us have trials. I was looking in this section right here a while ago, just this one section in front of where I sit. And I saw the place where a lady normally sits whose husband's body lies in state this morning. I saw a couple in this section right here whose baby has a disease that makes it impossible, unless God intervenes with a miracle, the baby to ever, even in childhood, to have a normal life. I saw in this section right here a person who has cancer and wonders how long he or she will live. In this section right here, I saw one couple facing a serious court battle and serious legal problems. I thought of this little story. Friday night, we had a wedding here. And I found myself, Miss Colston, as I walked away from the wedding Friday night, again last night, I found myself wishing that all of our people could come to all of our weddings. Some of the greatest blessings you'll ever receive, you'll get at our weddings. Friday night, a Nicaraguan young lady was married. 6 or 7 years ago, she was in the country of Nicaragua. The armed forces came through commanding all teenagers, young people, to join the army. They came to her best friend, I think lived near her, and maybe next door, I'm not sure, and commanded her best friend to join the army. It's another young lady. And she, in the presence of the young lady that's married here Friday night, refused to join the army. And they pulled out guns and shot her cold-blooded to death in the presence of this young lady who was married right here Friday night. She saw her best friend shot to death in the head. They insisted then that she join the army, and she hid for 2 weeks. And finally a Christian pilot flew her out of the country of Nicaragua. And brother, if our people knew the whole story about Nicaragua, they wouldn't be so gullible to go against what the president is suggesting be done. The tragedy is uninformed senators, uninformed congressmen, playing for the vote rather than for the freedom of our nation. This young lady was flown by Christian pilot to Miami. Soon she was joined by her father, but her mother could not leave the country. Some of us helped. Young lady, sit up here on the front now. Keep her still there. This young lady soon came to Chicago area. Her mother could not join the family because of problems in Nicaragua. And then a few of us pitched a few nickels and dimes in the pot and got enough money to bring her here. After much legal battle, a bus worker went by to see her. She came to First Baptist Church of Hammond. Later on, went to our City Baptist High School for bus kids, Hiles Anderson College. Last night was married here. I'm saying everybody in this room has a reason to weep this morning. Don't criticize us because we laugh. Don't be critical of us because we have a little fun in church. We have enough tears we shed alone. We shed enough tears by ourselves. Let us get together, please, and smile, and enjoy each other, and laugh a while. This morning I would like to direct your attention as to how you can avoid most of those trials. I can tell you a way to avoid many of them, if not most of them. Follow me carefully as I tell you how trials come about. I'm going to list a few things here. No need to write them down, but listen to them. Number one, God looks down and sees one of His children bearing fruit. He sees you winning souls. He sees you building a Sunday school class. He sees you building a bus route. He sees you bearing fruit. That, number two, that attracts Him to you. God is attracted to those that do what He died for. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. When Jesus sees somebody doing the thing for which He died, that makes that person attractive to Him. Number three, He then wants to know you better. Listen carefully. Number one, He sees you bearing fruit. Number two, that attracts Him to you. Number three, it makes Him want to know you better. Number four, that makes Him want you close to Himself. You see, there's no respecter of persons with God. But God does enjoy fellowship with people who are interested in what interests Him. When God sees a person bearing fruit, God says, I'd like to know him better. When God sees a person bearing fruit, He says, I'd like to be close to that person. Number five, He has many things to give you when He brings you close. He wants to give you some things. He wants to shower you with blessings. He sees you bearing fruit. Now notice where it starts. He sees you bearing fruit. And He says, I'm attracted to that person. I'd like to know him better. I want to be close to him. So He gives you, him and now, He gives you a trial to make you need Him. Did you hear me? I said God gives you a trial to make you need Him. And the very trial that He gives you to make you need Him is because He wants you close to Himself, because He is attracted to you, because you have entered into the work for which God gave His Son and Jesus gave His life. And so in order to draw you close to Himself, God gives you a trial beyond oftentimes your own ability to heal, a problem beyond your ability to solve, a burden beyond your ability to bear, a question beyond your ability to answer. So you can come to the end of your rope and you will turn to Him. He gives you this trial. You know, there's something that goes on, and especially does it go on among the students of Howells Anderson College, and especially does it go on among the married students of Howells Anderson College. If I can't find the job I want, if I can't get the money I think I need, if my children are not real well, if my wife is not happy here and she's causing a few problems and nagging a bit, then if the burdens are more here than back home, it must not then be the will of God that I be here. Now I want to say this, ladies and gentlemen. If you're having problems here, it is probably more a sign that you are in the will of God than that you are not in the will of God. God looks down and God sees a productive Christian. And God says, I'd like to be attracted to him. I'd like to know him better. I'd like for our fellowship to be closer. draw me nearer, 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 Lord, to Thee. And we think God draws us nearer, reaching out like an old grandfather and hugging us to Himself. No, we won't come to Him. We won't get near to God until we need God because we're selfish creatures. And so nobody ever gets saved because, you know, God needs me. I think I'll get saved today. Nobody does that. God needs me. I think I'll live for it. Nobody knows that. Does that. We come to God for selfish reasons. And so we get the place to where we cannot solve our problems. We cannot answer our questions. We cannot bear our burdens. We come to God and say, God, I need your help. But we would not have come for that help and that closeness had God not given us a burden by which we drew close to Himself. And God, who sees us bearing fruit and wants to know us better and wants us closer to Him, thereby gives us our burden. He gives us our problem. He gives us our trial. He gives us our heartache, that we may cast our cares on Him and draw closer and nearer to Him so He, as our God, can know us better. And then number 7, you flee to Him then and learn His comfort. Number 8, He then pours out riches you would have never known had you not known the burden. Had you not gotten close to Him, you would not have received the riches. But you would not have gotten close to Him had you not realized your need of Him. But you would not realize your need of Him if you hadn't had the heartache. And He would not have wanted you close to Him, as close to Him or closer than others, had He not seen you bearing fruit. So here's the progression. God looks down and sees us bearing fruit. He sees you bearing fruit. And God says, He's interested in what I'm interested in. I gave my Son for souls. My Son died on Calvary for souls. And there's a person who's doing the work for which my Son died. And Jesus says, I died for that. I'd like to get closer to Him. How can I get that person closer to me? I must give Him a burden to bear that He cannot bear, a problem to solve that He cannot solve, a question to answer that He cannot answer, and that'll bring Him close to me. When I get Him close to me, He'll get to know me and the power of His resurrection, my resurrection, and the fellowship of my suffering, and then I can shower blessings on Him because He's close to me. He can know my comfort. He can know my joy. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to stand up on a television program or behind this pulpit and say to you that if you just come to Christ, all your problems are over. The truth is, you may have more what men count problems after you come to Christ than you did before you come to Christ. I'm not going to stand here and tell you this morning that you give your all to Jesus and say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, Jesus I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow Thee. I'm not going to tell you this morning that you do that, yet you'll get rich, you'll never have any problems. All these Hollywood movie stars talking about come to Christ and give your life to Christ and all my burdens rolled away, why, most of them back in sin before morning. That's not Christianity. Tell John the Baptist how things work out when you take a stand for God. Now you listen to me. God makes you know Him better. Now you have 1,000 times more than you lost. But you will not get more until you have lost. For until you have lost, you will not realize your need of Him. That brings the realization God only took from you that He could make room enough for you to put better where the good was. It was caused all because you brought forth fruit. Listen to me. If you'd like to avoid most of the trials of life, just don't bring any fruit. It says, every branch in me that bringeth forth fruit, He what? What? Say it. Purgeth it. Say it, everybody. He what? Purgeth it. It says, the branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth. Put that on your testimony on your charismatic program. You send to me, you'll get rich. You send to me, you go broke. But you're supposed to send to me anyway. You're supposed to tithe. Are you tithe? Boy, I'll tell you, I tithe, and now my tithe is more than my salary was before I started tithing. I wouldn't spend that long preaching that kind of garbage. You're supposed to tithe if you go broke. supposed to do right, not so you can get more money. You're supposed to do right because God said do it, and that's all you have to have is a command from God. So here's where it, I can tell you how to really. You say, "Well, why do we have so much trouble in my family?" I know a person doesn't live for God, drinks his liquor, lives in sin. That gets along real well. Brother House, we have it rougher than he. I'll tell you how you can have it like he has it. Don't bring in fruit. God won't mess with you. God won't want you close to himself. He won't need to purge you. God will not be attracted to you. And you will not be attractive to God if you do not bear fruit. He won't want to know you better. He will not seek to draw you closer, and consequently, since the trial is to bring you closer and to help you bring forth more fruit and get more blessings, then if you do not bring fruit, you'll not have the trial. You don't have the trial. You won't draw closer to God, but you won't have the burden. But you will miss the trial. But you'll also miss something else. You'll miss the added blessings. You'll miss knowing Him better. You'll miss knowing His comfort. You'll miss being of value to Him. I want you to follow me. Here's something. You know, the Lord didn't say, "I am the oak tree and you're the branches." He didn't say, "I am the giant cedar of Lebanon and you're the branches." He didn't say, "I am the fruit tree and you're the branches." No, I'm the vine. You know why? Because all other trees except the vine can be used for something except to bring forth fruit. Other trees can be used for wood, but not the vine. Other trees can be used for shade, but not the vine. Other trees can be used for ornament, but not the vine. Only thing the vine's good for is to bring forth fruit. And the only thing that God saved you for was so you could be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And if you're not bringing forth fruit, God is not necessarily attracted to you, and God won't try to draw you closer, so He won't give you the burden of the problem of the trial. And so, you won't have to suffer so much. But I'll tell you something else too. You won't know Him very well either. And you won't know the boundless blessings that God wants to give those that are drawn to Him. But the song a while ago, "Draw me nearer, nearer, nearer." God uses afflictions to draw us nearer. God uses burdens to draw us nearer. God uses heartaches to draw us nearer. Let me illustrate. I mentioned this the other night. I'm one of those sports fans that follows the team more in the off season than in the on season. I hardly ever check and see whether the Chicago Bulls win a game or not when they're playing. But I follow the draft. I don't know why. I get more interested in who's getting what player, what player's getting what point. And I'd like to make this announcement also. I have totally lost interest in the Chicago Cubs. God's not in it. Well, I know what it is. God wants the Cubs closer to Him. So He's sending them through trials. That's preaching, ain't it? Nice to have you back with me. But let me tell you, now follow me carefully. It's time for the National Football League draft. So what happens? The people that get the number one draft choice. I'm trying to think of the number one draft choice for the NFL this last year, and I can't think who it was. Anybody know offhand? Raise your hand. Who? Yeah, the big tackle. Smith from Virginia. Good. Now quote Jeremiah 36:14. I'm waiting for you. Yeah. Now, let me tell you a story. You know why Virginia drafted Smith? They wanted him. They wanted, not Virginia, he's from Virginia. Who drafted him? You Buffalo. Boy, you know your Bible, don't you? So Buffalo, and you know why Buffalo drafted him? They wanted him. You know why they wanted him? They liked the name Smith. No. Because he's pretty. You better know he's not. I mean, if I met him in the dark and he said, "Join a ministerial association," I'd do it. But this big old guy, 290 pounds, why'd they draft him? They wanted him. But do you know what they're going to do to him next month? They're going to take him to a warm climate. And they're going to put that guy through Hades. Even worse than that. That guy, take this big guy from Chicago, the refrigerator. Looks more like a deep freeze to me, but a refrigerator. 350 pounds. You know what they're doing to him right now? They've cut him down to 16 hamburgers a day. That guy, they're putting him through it. And I'm sure he must be saying,
this is not the will of God. God must not be in it.
All those don't let this frighten you when I do this. And all those calisthenics. Now, you see, they're not mad at him. They like him. They chose him because they wanted him. But if he becomes all he can become, they must put him through some tough times. He's got to suffer. If he does not suffer, he cannot be of use to the Chicago Bears, and neither can Smith be of use to Buffalo Bills. God comes and says, something about you I like. I want you. I want you to be on my team. I want you to have a big position on my team. I want you to serve me. I want you. I want you closely. Look, these fellows, because they suffer and go through the ordeal and the pain through which they must go and things they must endure, those guys are getting paid a lot of money. They're getting rich. But if they do not endure the trials, they will not know the riches. And if they do not endure the trials, they will not know the success. And if they do not endure the trials, they will be of no value whatsoever to their team. And God comes along and God says, hey, there's a fellow who's got a bus route. Now here's what happened. There's a fellow who's got a bus route. I'm gonna call him to preach the gospel. I won't use him madly. I want him closer to me. So he comes along and he says, fella, I want you to preach. Fellow's ready to preach. Goes off to college. What happens? His other wife that's had a nice 3-bedroom home with a bath and a half back home, she has to live up in the attic somewhere with her husband and 2 other rats and the real rats in the attic somewhere. Has a little baby, and the baby has to live in a little cold room maybe. And the husband tries to find a job and can't find half the salary he had back home. Then he works by night and goes to school by day. And then the little child gets ill, maybe. Then the wife gets discouraged. And then the fellow loses his job. And he says, God must not be in it. Listen, what God's trying to do is get you close enough so you can play on His team. That's the purpose of it. That's what it's all about. God wants you to play for Him. And God must put you through the trials to get you close enough to Him so God can make you usable and so God can be close enough to give you all the benefits He has to bestow upon you because He took away those things that you thought you wanted. One of the great mistakes of the Christian life is our talking about what's good and what's bad. A lady said to me not long ago, said, since we've been here, we've had nothing but bad happen. Now, lady, you don't know what's bad and what's good. If you're in the will of God, if you love God, then whatever happens to you is good. You don't know what's good or bad. If it draws you closer to God, it's good. If it makes you more usable for God, it's good. But in case you don't want to have many trials, I can tell you how you can just practically have no trials at all. Just be worth nothing to God. Just don't bring forth fruit because first He sees you bringing forth fruit. He has a desire to know you better. He has a desire to draw you closer. He knows you will not come closer unless you need Him. He gives you a trial so you will know you need Him. You rush to Him. But here's the sad part. Tragedy is when people, hear me now, when people are bearing fruit, and God's attracted to them, and God wants them closer to Himself. And God knows they'll have to need Him to get close to Him, and so God sends them a trial that they cannot endure alone, so they will flee. Now the tragic thing is, when you you go through the trial and you don't come closer to Him. So He cannot give you what He has to give you. So you cannot know Him better. So you cannot know His comfort. So you cannot receive the blessings He has for you. If your trial doesn't bring you closer to Jesus, that's what's tragic. Draw me nearer, nearer, nearer. And God draws us through the trial. But it's more tragic than that. Here's a person that's bearing fruit. I can tell you case after case in this room. Okay? A man comes to church here, gets saved. He sees Christ. He gets on fire for God. God says, I'd like to know Him better. I'd like to draw Him closer to myself. And God does draw Him closer. But how does God draw Him closer? God makes Him need God. A trial comes. And He says, man, I had it better when I was in the world. But fella, you don't know what better is. You don't know the definition of better. God knows what's better. You know what tastes good, but sometimes things that don't taste good are better. My mama used to come to me every time we got sick. We took the same thing, black draught, called black draft. Now, I called it stuff. I couldn't use the words here. And mama always, the dose for it was the wrong end of a spoon. Take the handle of a spoon, dip it down the black draught. We had, you know, fallen hair, fallen arches, or pneumonia. We took black draught. Never tasted good. And I could have said, mama, I want something that's good for me. Like ice cream. Like a Buster bar. Glory to God. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, Buster bar with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I need, where'er I be, 'tis Buster bars that leadeth me. But I don't want to. I want a Buster bar. That's what you are. Well, things aren't going too well. I guess God's not in it. If things aren't going too well, that's a pretty good sign God is in it. And I'll bind you one thing, my friend. 99% of all the Christian growth that has been known by the people in this room this morning have been known in the shadows and not in the sunshine. And I'll guarantee you that 99% of the closeness that we enjoy with Christ has been caused because God gave us trials, and God gave us trials because God saw us bearing fruit. When God saw us bearing fruit, He said, I want to know Him better. I want Him close to me. God was attracted to us, but God could not get us closer to Him because we're selfish creatures unless He sent trials into our lives that made us come run closer to Him. But the sad thing is, when the trial comes and God says, I want you closer, and we go through the trial, but don't enjoy the purpose for the trial. And what happens? We run. We blame God. We blame others. This morning I was reading the 23rd Psalm. I was reminded of that little line that says, He maketh meet to lie down in green pastures. Dr. Monroe Parker first told me this many, many years ago. He said, Dr. Howells, I tell you what I think that means. He says, a little lamb runs away from the fold. The shepherd goes away from the fold and finds the lamb. And he's afraid that helpless little lamb be bitten by a poisonous serpent or be attacked by a wild animal. And that shepherd goes and puts that little lamb on his shoulder and brings him back to the fold. And the little lamb goes away again. This one little lamb seems like he has an awful hard time staying in the fold. So after the shepherd brings him back several times, he decides to do the little lamb a favor. So he takes that little leg of that little leg of lamb. He takes that leg of that little lamb. He'll put his knee up like that and take that little lamb's leg, hold it like that, and break that little lamb's leg. And now the little lamb can't run off. He has to stay in the fold. He said, that's what it means, I think, when the psalmist said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. God does not make us lie down in green pastures because He tells us to. We're not built that way. We want to run off. We don't want to be confined. We want to explore that which is illegal, that which is wrong, that which is out of bounds. We don't want boundaries. The Lord reaches down and says, I have to break your leg now. It's going to hurt. Well, it must not be, God must not be in it. No, God is in it. That's why the leg was broken. The shepherd was in it. This morning I'd like to stand and say this, and I'm through. I have never known what that little girl knew who saw her best friend shot in cold blood. I've never known the suffering of being captured by hostile people to hold me hostage. I've never known that. I've never had anyone take a cat of nine tails and lash it across my back. I've never known that. But I, like you, have known a few nights of tears. I, like you, have known a few days of heartache. And I, like you, have waked up many a morning and wished that it was all a dream. And maybe it weren't true. All of us have done that. All of us. But most of that, in most of our lives, is caused because God wants to know us better. I wish I could come to God and know Him better because He says to do it, but we're not made that way. God has to send us through the fire. God has to put us in the shadows. And we come to our wit's end. And then we rush to the bosom of Christ and get to know Him better. And I'll guarantee you that the people in this room who know Christ the best this morning are those who suffered the most. I'll guarantee you the people in this room this morning who are closest to Christ are those who shed the most tears. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. And you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. How does He lead me? By trials. How does He draw me nearer? By trials. Mrs. Eidson, come and sing that first stanza again, would you please? And as she comes to sing that first stanza, let me remind you, this is not a gullible Santa Claus saying, come to me and get closer so I can enjoy you. Because we don't do it that way. It's a loving Heavenly Father who sees us bearing fruit, who says, I'd like to know you better. I'd like to have you closer. And so He sends the trial. It causes you to realize you cannot make it alone. And then you come close. Think of it as Ms. Eidson sings.
I am Thine, O Lord. I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding
lovely, and that's the way you get to know Him better. If you're suffering this morning, He probably likes you a lot. He probably wanted to get to know you better. He probably wanted to fellowship with you more closely. But you wouldn't have come close to Him if you hadn't have suffered. Without the trial, you're not nearer. But just in case you don't want to endure the trial, just don't be any use to Him. But don't forget this. Your branch is of a vine. If you don't bring forth fruit, you're no good at all. Can't burn you for wood. You can't offer any shade. You can't offer beauty to the forest. It's fruit or no account. But in case you don't want to know the trial, don't bring forth the fruit, because you won't be purged. Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast a lesson for us here. Teach it to us. Bless that one this morning who's in the furnace. Bless that one this morning who's in the trial. And may that one realize the purpose of it all. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious wounded side.